real estate in Lagos is overpriced.
There are three basic countries and cities that they compare when they are making this blind argument to buy South Africa, the US. US has a landmass of almost 10 million square kilometers. Massive, massive space. Dubai, almost the same size as Lagos. Lagos is 3,007 square kilometers. Dubai is 4,000 plus. But in Dubai, you have just 3.6 million people. Ali Mossor local government. You have more people in Ali Mossor local government than you have in Dubai. In all these countries they compare us with, these people are dealing with single digit interest rate, 3%, 4%. If you tell those people that inflation rate will ever get to 10% in their country, they'll call you mad. They'll say it's impossible. But here in Nigeria, dealing with it, went as high as 34, currently at 27. What people want is for me to build them a fully detached duplex in Lekki Phase 1 for 10 million naira. And it's not possible. If I say, okay, what people have the ability to pay is 50 million naira. I'll look, okay, where can I produce a house of 50 million naira? I have to go to Ekpe. Let's even say I buy the land 10 million naira. To build a 3 to 4 bedroom bungalow now, it's going to take you between 30 to 40 million. Let's use the lower end, 30 million naira. And I put a 30% markup on it, 52 million. However, the people that have 52 million don't want to live in Ekpe. They would rather look for apartment safe before Chevron than consider going down to Ekpe. So why would I now take that risk and go and waste my money there when I build something that nobody will buy? So that's why all the developers are now struggling to do, because all the buyers say they don't want to go after Chevron. That's why I'm having a lot of expansion, a lot of sand filling happening before Chevron, because this is where the buyers want. I cannot give you a 50 million naira house in Lekki Phase 1. It's not possible. It's not economically possible. The only place I can give a 50 million naira house is in Ekpe. And as a businessman, I won't go and gamble my money, put 50 million naira there, wait for 2 years before I sell it. Or if anybody's coming, say, ah, it's Ekpe now, let me give you 10 million. They will start pricing. Do you understand? So nobody wants to take that risk. If you feel that real estate is overpriced, if you feel that you can do better, bring your money and come and build. Take your money, go and buy a large expanse of land, provide the same services, put the whole paparazzi there, and sell your own for 20 million naira. I mean, you cash out. If you're saying that this does not worth 150 million, it's an opportunity for you. I bought a 2010 Camry, 2020 or 2021. I bought that car to Kumbo, 2.5 million naira. I sold that car early this year, 7 million naira. Now, people understand that because it's a car. But when you're not talking about real estate, they are asking you, why is a property that was built 10 years ago, why is the rent going up? I don't understand, but the price of rice went up. You're seeing that the price of that Corolla has gone up, but you feel that the house should be the same. The people that bought this property or built these properties, it's an investment to them. And they knew that these properties would serve them as an edge against inflation. Most of these people that complain, if you discuss with them, they'll tell you that, ah, I cannot build property for rent because it's a bad investment. But these same people want to make demands on another person's property. Mm. The mumu that has gone to build his own house for rent, you will want to tell him what to do with the house. In your 40s, 50s, that's when you're building that property. Because the idea of that property is to sustain you in your old age. Then by 50, 60, you're retired and you're living off these properties that you bought. So are you telling me now that because my house was built 20 years ago, I should still be collecting maybe 100,000 naira rent I was collecting 20 years ago? The rice I was buying, maybe 5,000 naira per bag, did it remain 5,000 naira across the 20 years? As my standards of living has gone up, then my asset that I bought to take care of me will also go up. And if I want to carry out any maintenance on that house, I'm going to buy them at current rate, because if I don't maintain that house, you will not rent it. You come and drag me online, I see the house, so that you want me to pay caution fee, see how bad it is. So I have to maintain my house, and to maintain that house, I'm going to pay current rate. My brother is planning a wedding. I know how much the vendors are charging us. The cheapest bill we have is about 750k. Everything is millions, millions. But these same people will come online and be shouting that 2 million naira is too much for rent in Lagos. But if I call you come and do videography for my wedding now, you tell me 1.5 million. House I'll keep you for 1 year. Just to video one event, you collect it at once. But if I tell you, give me the same money for 1 year rent, you say it's too much. You stay in my house for one full year, you say it's too much. But you charge that same thing for her. Nigerians can be confusing. They want capitalist benefits in a socialist environment. They want their own businesses. They want to maximize their profits. But every other person's business should be free. Let everything be for the people. The man you go to buy garri from, you tell you, dollar don't go up, oh, it's expensive. But when you now come to rent my house and I tell you the price, you say it's expensive. The ladies that are selling here, like,
yeah, now it's from, do you understand? Million, 2 million,
do you understand? If I go
million.
To all these fashion designers, Vic James school, they will call millions for me. But these same people will tell you, this house is expensive. Everybody wants drive Benz on another person's head.
Today on the show, I have someone whose voice is grounded, whose opinions are data-backed, and whose perspectives challenges the noise and brings clarity to the chaos. Now, he is a thought leader, a market analyst, a man whose voice and who speaks with conviction and precision. He is bold, unapologetically honest, and super smart. Now, he's here to break down the realities in the real estate market. I'm talking the policies, planning, regulations, and everything real estate in Nigeria. Now, welcome with me for the very first time on Key to Keys podcast, Bond Duru.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, let's go straight to the conversation. There's just been a whole lot going on right now in the Nigerian real estate space. And it's important that we get to hear from those who are outside that space and those who are inside this space. And let's get your opinion on some topics. Now, let's start with number one. Real estate in Lagos is overpriced. What do you say?
I mean, it depends. Yes, there are some properties that can be ridiculous, but overall, based on the conversations that are currently happening, I think it reflects the realities of the market, right? Simple forces of demand and supply, simple basic economics. You know, we are in a city of 22 to 25 million people in Lagos, in a very small, in the smallest state in the country, 3,000 square kilometers, right? So that is a lot of pressure. You know, everybody, these 25 million people want to own something because, I mean, every human being needs to stay somewhere, right? So some of them either want to rent a place for those who cannot buy, and then for those that can buy, they want to buy something. And that is just for the few that can be squeezed into that place. Then we have millions in diaspora who also want to own a piece of that small place, you know. So, like I said, demand and supply. When the demand for something is so high relative to the supply, you know, the prices are expected to go up.
Why do you think there's a demand for Lagos? I mean, there's a statement I made which has been trending. Lagos is the New York of Nigeria. I think people misconstrued what I said, but I mean, you are in the system. Why do you think there is a demand to be in Lagos?
Nigeria has 36 states plus the federal capital. Of those 36 states, Lagos State is the only state in the country that provides opportunity, you know, for anybody, both the young and the old, anybody. So just like you said, it's the New York of Nigeria. New York, you know, presents opportunity, you know, a land of opportunity, the financial capital of, you know, the world, not just America. You know, so it is that promise of that dream that drives people there. And that, you know, when people go there, they create that demand, which, you know, makes, you know, like in the case of New York, you know, blows up the prices of real estate there. So it's that same thing, you know, it's that same thing we have in Lagos, right? So everybody, you know, if you're a musician, you know that if you want to blow, you have to come to Lagos. If you want, you know, if you're into real estate, you know, okay, let's not even talk about real estate. If you're a musician, you have to come to Lagos. If you're an actor, you have to come to Lagos. If, you know, whatever it is, you're a businessman, the ports are in Lagos, you know. So Lagos is the land of opportunities, and that is what has attracted people here. And it's because of that attraction, then we now that has created that demand and, you know, giving birth to the realities we have in the market.
The market. So I also need to buttress that point, you know, the fact that people were like, Lagos is not New York. I think people were missing the point. As New York is to US, there are other states in US.
Let me make that your point clearer. Now, it might sound ridiculous if I say I am, you know, if I compare myself to Dangote, right? He's miles ahead of me, age, wealth, everything. But at the base, I and Dangote are human beings.
Yeah.
So if you drop I and Dangote in the land of animals, they will treat us the same way.
Sure.
So that's the similarity between me and Dangote. On top of that, we are both black. If you take I and Dangote to a white-dominated neighborhood, they will treat both of us the same. So that's the similarity between me and Dangote. On top of that, both of us have the same green passport. If you go to an airport, remove his name, they will treat us the same way, you know, because of that similar passport. So if I compare myself to Dangote, am I wrong to do that?
Yeah.
Right? So we have similarities. So it's the same thing with New York. So when you say Lagos is the New York of Nigeria, it doesn't mean, yes, it has a high GDP, you know, it has, you know, well laid out plan, although it has almost, okay, it's also dirty too, but let's not go there yet.
Nobody's touched that. We're touching
let's not go there yet. You know, so those similarities. So it doesn't mean, when because I heard that statement and I also, you know, support it too. You know, so when you hear that, it does not mean that we are comparing it. It just means relative to what they are. Like, they are both megacities. A megacity is a city that has more than 10 million people. So that's the similarity between, you know, the state of New York and, you know, the state of Lagos, right? And then the opportunity it presents is the same thing. You know, what Lagos represents in Nigeria is what New York City represents to, you know, the people in the US or whoever in the world that wants to go do something there. So, yeah, there are similarities.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. And also, like I was saying, it's just the same way New York is to America. There are other places in America whereby we have different states. But you can't compare it to New York. New York is the hub of opportunities there. That is how Lagos is to Nigeria.
Like there are better states, more well-planned states in America. But you see people still spend hundreds of millions of dollars in New York with the rat infestations, the dirty subways. So it's the similarity. It's the same thing you have in Lagos. Lagos is according to some people, Lagos is dirty and the rest, but people still want to own there because of that promise of that opportunity there. When you have states like Akwa Ibom, Jos, I mean, if you feel, okay, you're not getting a good deal here, then you go to Jos and buy. So why is everybody concentrated there? Because of that promise of opportunity. And you're not the only one saying it. There are millions of others who want that opportunity. And when everybody is chasing that same opportunity, the value of that opportunity goes up. So that's the reality of what we have.
All right, thank you. So let's talk about global comparison. There have been lots of comparisons between houses in a particular place or a state outside Nigeria and then in Lagos, you know, saying that, okay, it's quite expensive. We're not getting the kind of finishing those houses are getting, the land space. Can we touch on that?
Okay, let's keep finishing aside, right? Let's talk about the economics of these comparisons. Now, there are three basic countries and cities that they compare. You know, they always bring up when they are making these blind arguments. You have Dubai, you have South Africa, and you have the US, right? Now, for the US, US has a landmass of almost 10 million square kilometers, right? Massive, massive space. Dubai, the city of Dubai, it's the same size, almost the same size as Lagos. Lagos is 3,007 square kilometers. Dubai is 4,000 plus, almost the same thing, right? But in Dubai, you have just 3.6 million people. Ali Mosho local government. You have more people in Ali Mosho local government than you have in Dubai, right? But Lagos, the same size as Dubai, has 22 to 25 million people there. Meanwhile, in Dubai, I mean, you know, the prices of real estate, in as much as the pressure is not as much compared to Lagos. Now, it does not mean I'm comparing Dubai to Lagos. Yes, Dubai is more beautiful than Lagos, but the basics of economics does not depend on whether something is fine or not. Again, another example. Let's say you're standing at the bus stop waiting for a bus, for those that understand how the, you know, bus system is in Nigeria, right? You want to go for a job interview. Uber to take you to that place is, let's say, 10,000 naira. And, you know, you're checking the app. There is no, you're not seeing anything on the app. And then a Danfo comes, right? And he's saying, give me 10,000 naira to take you to your destination. Will you say, no, I will stay here because this Danfo is not good. It's not worth 10,000 naira. I will stay here till I get an Uber. No, because of how important your destination is. You pay whatever it takes to enter, you know, to get to that destination, even if it means getting into this dirty Danfo, right? And that is similar. You know, once that demand is there, once that need is there, the package of whatever it is does not really matter. That's the way I see it.
So let's talk about finishing now. That's another thing. When they started this whole comparison that houses in this particular countries or this particular states outside Nigeria seem bigger and the finishing is better in comparison to what we have in Nigeria or in Lagos. And then the prices are almost the same.
You know, I'm sure you know a little of my story, you know, my uncle and the rest, you know. So I had to leave because I was not proud of the job we were producing, right? Because I saw where the market was going to, you know, people were making more demands. But then the developers, you know, like the, let's just call it Ikota developers, in their mindset is whatever will build, people will buy it.
And that's the same. People are actually buying it.
Do you understand?
It.
So why do I need to put in more work to make something better when I know that no matter how I do it, somebody will buy it? And that's why sometimes when I say that, you as a buyer also have a responsibility.
Exactly.
Because if I go to a house, you know, I mean, you look at it, it's not well put together, the plastering is this, the door, you must not buy it. But then again, it now, you know, further shows you, you know, the reality of the market where there is very limited supply. Because I've had a woman, you know, for more than 1 month, she was like, okay, Bond, I've seen what you do and I want to do the right thing. I only want to buy a house that has building approval. We couldn't find, you know, my salespeople, they kept on searching. What they were not bringing was provisional approval. He said, no, wanted approval. Till now, she has not bought. Why? Because the developers know that somebody will still come and buy it that way. But now, if more people are like this woman and they go, okay, no approval, I will not buy. And more people, you know, make demand for whatever it is that they want. You see that the market will adjust. But because the market will go with whatever is given to them, then, you know, that's what you keep on seeing. And also, it's not like I'm trying to give excuse to, you know, bad development. You also have to understand the realities of Nigeria at the moment. The economy is very bad. Now, let's say I want to build a house somewhere in Lagos, right? Everything about that project is going to cost me 100 million naira. From the land, everything, 100 million naira. And I go to the bank, I say, okay, bank, I have this deal I'll do. I want to build this property here. I need 100 million naira to execute this project. The bank is going to tell me, okay, I'll give you this money, but you're going to give us 30%, right? That is the interest rate. So now the price of that house is 130 million.
Yeah.
Now, on top of that, I mean, I'm not a charity, so I have to factor in my profit on it. If you use a conservative 30%, I say, okay, I mean, I've labored for 1 year. I should be able to make 30% on that property. So that's another 30% on the value of the property. Now, once I sell, because we also experienced this problem, at the early stages, one of our projects. We sold the project. By the time we wanted to get land and build on that one, we saw that we are making the loss.
Exactly.
Do you understand? Because cement went from 2008 to about 3,500, iron, everything moved that way. So by the time we did the math, we saw that if we do another project, we are going to make a loss. So now when we are exiting a project, we have to factor in inflation into the current project so that we can be able to build more. So now we have 30% from the bank, 30% my interest, and then 30% inflation we'll add on the project. So you're seeing how a property that originally cost 100 million naira to build is now going to 200 million because of the economic realities. Now, because if I wanted to do the right thing, because that 100 million is that I'm going to build this house and I'll build it, to standard. But I know that by the time I go through all these hoops and, it's 200 million, the market, nobody will buy that property in the market for 200 million. Again, it goes back to the buyers. Because if you take somebody to an estate, you have 5 different properties, right? You see this one that is well built. I tell you, I built this thing well. I show you everything. I use good cables. If you want, I can show you charts from developers. As a guy that came in from, was it South Africa? He came here and did one excellent project. They were pricing him nonsense. So if I say, okay, I built this thing well, I show you evidences of the materials I built, give you assurances that if you buy this thing, I can give you guarantees. 200 million naira. But in that same market, you're seeing properties for 120, 150. Most Nigerians will go and buy that 120, 150. They will want that guy. Is it not the same thing? Is it not the door? I mean, we have done a project where we used San Marco paint. It's an Italian paint we used to import back then. We used it for a project. Somebody came and used them not call any brand name, one nonsense paint and painted on top. Do you understand? So, as a developer, by the time you see this trend in the market, you'll be like, Omo, rather than take this risk, let me just, okay, this 100 million you give me. So instead of taking the risk of putting a property of 200 million, let me just cut one or two corners here, use, cheaper paint, use cheaper wood, for the finishing, everything. At least let the property be 70 million. So that by the time I do everything, I'm able to sell it 140, so somebody will buy it. Rather than taking the risk, putting all my effort into it, and then, the market, the property stays in the market for years.
So I got a message from a new developer on Monday, and his complaint was, confidence, how are your other developers doing it? Because I'm not done. I'm building terraces in Lekki Phase 1. I'm not done. And it's already getting to about 400 million for one terrace. How are you guys doing it? I need to know. And how are you guys making sales? Can you educate me? Because I'm in the market, right? And he's just going into construction. And from that question, it just been realized that it seems a lot of people who are outside this market don't fully understand what exactly is going on. I feel it's just the same way when we are playing football, when we are watching the match. We are the spectators. We are the ones shouting, Mickey Lebu is not doing this one. This one is not, you kick the ball. But the moment we are on the field, we cannot do anything. Do you understand? For instance, okay, there's a game I love so much, boxing. And I'm always like, you give this person. And then I bought this VR boxing. I could not spend 1 minute because I was exhausted. And at that point, I began to understand better how these things are. So I think this is almost the same thing what's happening outside the real estate market. A lot of people are saying so many things, development. While I will not disregard the fact that there are some developers, because of course, I say something to people that, look, we have some doctors who are not professional, but we can't rule out the fact that they are good doctors. We can't say that because some doctors are not good enough, I will not go to the hospital when I'm sick. So yes, we have some developers who may have their faults, but we can't create a general notion from few that prices of properties are, to a large extent, Lagos properties are overpriced and they are stealing the realtors, everything. So what can you say? How can you educate people on the realities of this real estate market today?
Now, let me put it in 3 ways. Now, you have the economic problem. So the general or the economics of it. So I've already explained this, why I talked about the demand and supply. A lot of people, mounting pressure. Everybody wants to buy, both in Lagos. I mean, every politician that makes money wants to own a property in Lagos. Outside Nigeria, everybody wants to own a property in Lagos. That is the economics. Now, we have the federal problem. I've already explained it, right? Where I explained how a property that that would have cost me 100 million to build has ended up entering the market at 200 million.
Yeah.
Why? Because of the bank interest rate. Now, the banks collecting that 30%, it's not like they are wicked, but because the inflation of the country has gone up, the interest rate is determined by the MPR.
Yeah.
Now, the amount the central bank lends to the banks, mm-hmm. right? And that MPR is determined by the inflation rate in the country, right? Now, it is the duty of the federal government to regulate that. In all these countries they compare us with, South Africa, America, Dubai, these people are dealing with single digit interest rate, 3%, 4%. Like, it's almost, if you tell those people that the inflation rate will ever get to 10% in their country, they'll call you mad. They'll say it's impossible. It cannot happen. But here in Nigeria, we're dealing with, it went as high as 34, currently at 27. Do you understand? So that is the federal problem. Then we now have the state's challenges, right? Where we have a lot of bureaucrats. I'm trying my best not to, Lagos State, I want to be careful what I'm saying, but it's also difficult to develop in Lagos. And, where I've tried to raise this argument with some of their officials that I'm close to, they will tell you, or that this common phrase that real estate or land or whatever is the crude oil of Lagos. So they have to maximize it so that you have a lot of taxes, levies. Let me give you a typical example, right? Now, I see a plot of land I want to go develop. Before I even, remember I said 100 million naira is what would take me to do this project. Now I see this land I want to develop. Before I can even buy the land, I have to, there's a due diligence you have to do. Now that due diligence process is stress on its own. I'm going to waste a lot of unnecessary time, spend a lot of money because there is no central database where I can go and confirm that, okay, the title of this place is good. All these things should be online where in a matter of days or weeks, I can know, okay, this property is good to go and I can close it, right? Now I'm going to spend time to verify that land I want to buy. Time is money. Do you understand? As a developer, because if you're taking loans, it's already counting how long you have to stay on that project, to refund your investors. Now, I go through that process, I get the land. Now, before I can now do anything on the land, you're not dealing with the moneyless. They come and say, okay, you pay us X amount of money. Like, let's say for a 600 square meter plot of land, you can be paying as high as 5 million naira for the moneyless. And the moneyless, there is no value they provide to the value chain of real estate. Like, there's nothing they do. They just exist. We don't know why. There are theories on why the government has turned a blind eye to controlling them, but they are there. I mean, recently, I posted a video where another developer, David Abayomi, was sharing his own. He said his own project, that one boy, is a large project. He spent 15 million for moneyless. Let's start with moneyless.
And every time you do something,
exactly,
they're there.
Total. So once you want to, before you can even start
foundation money,
you have to pay them, right? Mm. Let me even give you do you know the craziest part? The one I even learned recently. Do you know that to demolish an existing building, you have to pay them? We pay them 4 million naira. Then by the time you now start to build again, you still pay them again. Like I said, there's no value they offer. Like now people complain about realtors. At least realtors, they do some work. They go around, making sure they get you the best deals. Lawyers, they help you do the verification. Every other person, you can point to value that these people create, that without them, you can make mistakes. Surveyors. But this is moneyless, there is absolutely no value they provide. But yeah, they charge these millions of naira. Now, you settle your moneyless, you're ready to build. So you take your drawing to the Lagos State government and start your approval process. That is another challenge on its own. You can end up spending 3 to 6 months there. We have heard different theories that, they are understaffed, they don't have enough staff, because what happens is before you can, commence any project, you have to, get your drawing, the architectural MEP drawings and everything, then take it to Lagos State government to be sure that those drawings align with the building approvals of that area, or the building regulations rather of that area. Ideally, that process shouldn't take too long. It should be a matter of weeks. But that is going to take months, right? And as a developer, again, like I said, time is money. I cannot be waiting for these guys. I will go to site and I'll start work. Then they now come and I have to pay contraventions. That's where the entire bribery comes from. Because when you make rules difficult for people to obey, then crime is inevitable. People always find ways around it.
Yeah.
Do you get me? So, aside the time you spend there, it also costs some amount of money that does not make sense, right? Different agencies doing almost the same thing, like at least 7, and I'm even hearing they were up to 9. All these things can be collapsed into one agency. Okay, you're dealing with this, or even 2 or 3, but you're dealing with LASCA, LASPA, material test,
environmental.
Do you understand? So, unnecessary hurdles. So, you go through all these things, you start your project.
And you're paying. you missed that part.
No, I've already explained it. So you go through these things, you start your project, then the economy now starts to hit you. Now, we did a project, the project we have been skimmed to, right? In 2023, when we started that project, a ton of iron rod was going for 470,000. I have what the receipts. 470,000 for a ton of iron rod. Cement then was, I think, 4-5. Yes, cement was 4-5. You know. But I'm telling you that we bought the first set of materials. We delivered the first set in November. From December to January, between that November to January, iron rod of 2023 to 24. So January of 24, iron rod went from 4.5 to a peak of 1.5, 1.6 million, right?
Wow.
Cement went from, is it 4.2 thereabout to, it hit 12, 15K.
Yes.
Do you understand? And I know a lot of developers that almost went out of business. Some even went out of business because imagine, you know, you took money off plan. And that was another thing that saved me because back then I was pushing for off plan because I was making content then about it. Like, you know, let's sell, you know, I was trying to market it off plan. And then my uncle was like, no, let's take it to a certain level before, you know, we start to market it. And I'm glad he, you know, his wisdom came there because imagine we had planned it. I mean, there's no way you would plan that in November 2023, iron rod was 475. And by January, February 2024, it will go to 1.5. You, in your mind, you'll be like, okay, worst case scenario, you know, 800K. Do you understand? Sure. You now factor that into the pricing. But then imagine you now did off plan. You sold it at this certain price. Okay, by the time we're done, we're going to sell it at this price. And then you've collected money from the public. And then you see these things. And you know, buyers, they don't care. Once they're giving you money, this is our agreement. Agreement is agreement, you know. And then you start to have conflicts. Developers start to run away. And that's one of the reasons you have a lot of, you know, abandoned projects all over the place, right? So the economy now starts to hit you. Again, like I said, I'm trying my best not to say a lot of negative things about the Lagos State government. But that is just basically, like I've said, you have the economics of it, the federal government part of it, and then the state government part of it.
Let's talk about tenancy reforms. We've been hearing monthly tenancy right now. What can you say about it? I mean, a lot of people are like, it's not sustainable. Some are like, no, let's go for it. What do you think?
The thing is that people don't read. Like, there's nothing there's no anomaly in the market. There's nothing they complain about in the market that has not already been factored in. There's nothing we are complaining about that the Lagos State government is not aware of and has not already planned for. The problem has not been, you know, enforcement. Do you get? Like, one of the problems that people... Now, the tenancy complaint is twofold. The actual price of the rent going up, and they now have the other charges that goes with it. Now, the price of the rent itself has nothing. I mean, it is the fault of the economy, right? Inflation, like we have all said. I bought a 2010 Camry, I think 2021, Tokumbo. Was it 2020 or 2021? I bought that car, Tokumbo, 1.5 million naira. No, 2.5 million naira. I sold that car early this year, 7 million naira. Now, people understand that because it's a car. But when you're not talking about real estate, they are asking you, why is a property that was built 10 years ago, why is the rent going up? I don't understand, but you're seeing that the price of rice went up. You're seeing that the price of that Corolla has gone up, but you feel that the house should be the same because what? I don't understand that argument. Do you get? Because the people that bought this property or built these properties, it's an investment to them. And they knew that these properties would serve them as an edge against inflation. So as these prices go up, they also have to adjust it because that was what they bought it for, because that is the, you know, reality of the economy. So we cannot do anything about that, right? You can, you know, protest against the government to bring down the inflation rate. And if they can bring down the inflation rate, then we can start to see changes in this thing. Because if, you know, let's say my landlord pumps my rent to 10 million naira, right? And all the other properties, you know, around me are selling for 5 million. Nobody will rent that house for 10 million naira. Do you understand? Because you have something cheaper. And these people are able to sell it cheaper because they factored in, okay, price of this thing has come down. Let us adjust it. And if you're saying that, it will not come down, that's not how the market forces work. Because some people, if everybody is selling, like, okay, let me give an example. That's a project we did in Ikota, right? By the time we went there, I noticed that most developers there were doing face-by-face with terraces, right? Because of the shape of the lands that were there. And I was like, let's just do four units of semi-detached on our own land. Because on that same land, we could have easily put six to eight units of terraces. I can't remember the number now, mixing things up. You know, we had this back and forth, like, let's just build what everybody's building. But my argument then was that if we build the same thing, there's a lot of supply here. People have many options. So all of us will now start, we will now become a race to the bottom. Because they, by the time they enter this, your estate, your own is 100 million. This one goes 95. By the time this developer hears that, this one sold for 90. You will not bring down. Do you understand? You guys will not start racing to the bottom. Sure. But we went there and we did semi detached. We sold some of those terraces are still selling. This I'm talking about was towards the ending of last year. Some of those terraces are still selling today. Why? Because people have options. Do you get me? So it's the same thing. If you're saying that your landlord will not bring down the rent, then come if you what you're saying is that there's an opportunity to bring things down, then you come and take advantage of that opportunity. Investors will see that opportunity. Say, okay, rent around there is 10 million naira. But I've done my numbers and seen that if I build this here and I can charge 5 million naira, which also be beneficial to me, I would obviously get my property off the market. You see that investors will come and take advantage of that. But the reason why investors are not taking advantage of that, because there's no opportunity there because of the realities of the market. But people don't seem to understand. And I've told anybody, I said, if you feel that real estate is overpriced, if you feel that you can do better, bring your money and come and build. Take your money, go and buy a large expanse of land, provide the same services and sell your for 20 million naira. I mean, you cash out. Sure. If you think that this is overpriced, then go there, do the whole polo thing, put the whole paparazzi there, provide the same service. If you're saying that this does not worth 150 million, it's an opportunity for you. Like, I one of my female friends is, she's a hair vendor. How did she get into the business? She was seeing what the other hair vendors were doing, and she felt, okay, she now got a contact in Vietnam or so, mm-hmm. and then she was now bringing these hairs in, and she was, leveling the price. Yeah. I don't want to mention her name, but she was bringing that prices, and she made a lot of money. So that's the same thing. If you feel that there's an opportunity there, that all the developers are ripoffs, bring your 50 million, bring your 100 million, come and build houses, sell it for whatever you want to sell it for, and make money. If you feel that we are building properties, okay, this property cost us 100 million to build, we're selling to 500 million, come and build it for 100 million, sell for 150. It's an opportunity. Come and take advantage of it. So that is, we're talking about rents now.
Yeah.
So that is the economic part of it. There's really nothing we can do. There's inflation in the country. Then you now have the other charges. Now, the other charges, everything have been provided for in the Lagos State Tenancy Law. What are the things people complain about? You want to rent a house, you're going to pay 10%, surplus is 20% agency, caution fee, and the lawyer. According to the laws of Lagos State, it is the person who brings the lawyer that should pay the lawyer's fee. And in most cases, it is the landlord that brings the lawyer. Mm-hmm. That's what they call agreement. So by the laws of Lagos State, this is your landlord that's supposed, you're not the one supposed to pay that 10% as the legal fee. The lawyers know this, but they collude with the landlords to, rip people off. So what will you blame? Will you blame, because it's realtors or developers they blame now. Will you blame realtors or developers? The things have been put into law. It's either you hold yourself responsible for not standing up for your rights, mm-hmm. or you hold the Lagos State government for not enforcing these laws. Now, the other thing they complain about is the agency fee. Now, according to the laws of Lagos State, it says that you should not charge above 10% agency fees. Now, some agents, unscrupulous agents in some, especially on the mainland, they charge as high as 20%. Again, you don't have to pay it. If they go say, okay, you're paying us 20%, you don't have to pay. Say, no, according to the laws of Lagos State, you're not supposed to pay it. But it now comes back again. Who is supposed to who's responsible? It's the Lagos State government. So, what again? Then the caution fee. Even to me, I even think the caution fee should be more, because there was this trend that happened recently where young ladies left a building and then messed up the place. So even if your rent is 5 million naira and you're paying 10% or 5 million naira and you stay in that house for 3 years, with that 500k, will you not even paying the house if you factor in the inflation that will go on in that apartment for within that 3 to 4 years that you stay there? You get so. All these things, because people just want properties, they don't want to pay anything. I know what another thing that makes me laugh, that most of these people that complain, if you discuss with them, they'll tell you that, I cannot build property for rent because it's a bad investment.
True.
It's a bad investment.
I've heard that.
But these same people want to make demands on another person's property. Mm. The mumu that has gone to build his own house for rent, you will want to tell him what to do with the house. So these are the things that I call it hypocrisy. They say, I can be harsh sometimes, but
please be harsh.
it's what it is. So, like I said, there are two problems with the rent, right? The inflation in the country is what has affected it. Now, I built my house, even if it's 30 years ago, I have to keep up with inflation, because that rent is what, especially like the people that, ideally, the way this thing works is, in your 20s, 30s, you've started in your career, and then you're starting to make money. In your 40s, 50s, that's when you're building that property. Because the idea of that property is to sustain you in your old age. right? Then by 50, 60, you've retired and you're living off these properties that you bought. So are you telling me now that because my house was 20, was built 20 years ago, I should still be collecting maybe 100,000 naira rent I was collecting 20 years ago because the rice I was buying, maybe 5,000 naira per bag, did it remain 5,000 naira across the 20 years? As my standards of living has gone up, then my asset that I bought to take care of me will also go up. Do you understand? And if I want to carry out any maintenance on that house, I'm going to buy them at current rate because if I don't maintain that house, you will not rent it. You come and drag me online. I see the house, so that want me to pay a caution fee. See how bad it is. So I have to maintain my house. And to maintain that house, I'm going to pay current rate. So everything, you know, so you have that inflation and then you now have the laws that already been there. It's just up to the Lagos State government to, you know, to enforce those laws and, you know.
So what would you say about this? Is it that people, because you're speaking in layman's terms, you know, is that people refuse to know or they don't know? They don't want to understand because when I hear some certain things, I'm like, wait, I don't get. Is this really coming from you?
They know. But you know that this head mentality that we have. I'll just give an example with somebody, but it's my client, so I don't want to. Because there was this guy, you know, it was also, we used to banter. It's not like, you know, because when I give my opinion, that some people that just come and insult me. But there's some people that, you know, we have this kind of, will I say, constructive back and forth, right? So that this guy has always, you know, let the market be like this, let the market be like this, you know, this is how it should be. He now bought a distressed property through me. And we were discussing one day, he said, okay, because the plan was, he was not in the country, he said, we will just keep it there. Anytime he's in Nigeria, he will come and, you know, live there, you know. But at the point, he said, okay, he wanted to rent it. How much can he rent this place? I said, okay, this place can rent for, you know, between 8 to 12 million naira. Now, this same person that has been going back and forth on the way things are supposed to be. He said, give me 12 million. Normally, I'd have thought that as a good person, as a patriotic Nigerian, you will collect the lowest end at least. Or maybe say 6 million. 12 million is too high for Nigerians. It's a two-bedroom apartment in Ikate. 12 million is too high. No, now it's for young people. Let them pay 5 million, please bond. But no, he said, give me 12 million. So that is the way everybody is. They only want to be, you know, Nigerians can be confused. You know, they don't know the difference between capitalism and socialism. They want capitalist benefits in a socialist society, the socialist environment. Like, they want their own businesses. They want to maximize their profits. But every other person's business should be free. Let everything be for the people. Do you understand? The woman you go to buy Gary from, she'll tell you, I'm on dollar, don't go up. Oh, it's expensive. But when you now come, you know, to rent my house, and I tell you the price, you say it's expensive. The ladies that are selling here, like,
Henna is from 1 million to 2 million.
Do you understand? If I go
million.
To all these fashion designers, Vic James, they will call millions for me. If I call videographer, come and help me video this house. You know, let us market it. They will tell you hundreds of thousands of naira. But these same people will tell you, this house is expensive. Everybody wants dry bends on another person's head. So that, so the thing just pisses me off. So everybody knows what they are doing.
Wow, I think you everybody are really getting to the crux of the whole narrative, because it's all of us. Truly, we have a hand to in all of these things. We have a part to
play. My brother is planning a wedding. I know how much the vendors are charging us, from the videographers to the photographers. Everybody's, the cheapest bill we have is about 750K. Everything is millions from the hall to the people that do the cooking, everything. But these same people will come online and be shouting that 2 million naira is too much for rent in Lagos. But if I call you come and do videography for my wedding now, you tell me 1.5 million. So you want to charge for house, I'll keep it for 1 year. You want to collect, you want just to video one event, you collect it at once. But if I tell you, give me the same money for 1 year rent, you say it's too much. To stay in my house for one full year, you say it's too much. But you charge that same thing for hair. You charge that same thing for your dresses. So like I said, it's hypocrisy. Everybody knows what they are doing. So
okay, so I'm going to touch that part of, you know, clients saying that you built that house. Because I've heard this a lot. And in the comment section, I had a lot of people saying the house was built 20 years ago. I'm going to say something. I watch all this foreign real estate stuff. And I see, in fact, the older it is, the better. You know, I see houses 100 years. You hear 100 years ago, it was built 100. And it is selling at today's. That's the selling point.
The age is the selling point.
Selling at today. And I'm wondering, this house is old. Why don't we sell it at, you know, the price it was built? Why would you be selling at today's price? And you know, everybody's like, this is so good. Vintage. We give it a nice name. And these same clients who are diaspora, and some of them who are there, and they see these things. And I go to the comment, And I see that a lot of people are commenting on this. This is beautiful. And they come here and they're like, you built this house 10, 20 years ago. You're supposed to give the same price. Why is the price increasing? So I love the fact that you touched that. I mean, it's not just one person talking about it. Like I said, a lot of people talking about all of these things are, number one, they choose not to understand, or they don't know.
But they know. Like I said, it's hypocrisy. They know. Not Nigeria. They know. But just hypocrisy. Make how they chop other people's heads. So, am I supposed to be speaking? Yes. So, don't mind them.
I had someone say something in my comment section. It was like, that we call some certain things luxury. And the truth is, now I'm going to have him speak, but I'm also going to speak as, like I said, as a broker, as an investor, as someone actually questioned the fact that I'm, in fact, it's crazy. I paused because someone questioned the fact that I'm an investor, that I am a terrible person because I am an investor and I am benefiting from the system. You know, I'm going to touch that. But as an investor myself, I have seen a lot of these things happen. I know what is happening behind the scene. I know how lots of developers are coming to my DMs, to my WhatsApp to cry. And this person was like, something as little as smart lock, we call it luxury. I saw a comment said, look, cashew in Nigeria can be cashew. It's not a big deal. But the moment cashew leaves the shores of Nigeria or Ghana, these things are now luxury abroad. You pay a lot to buy these things. Same with things that are in anything imported in Nigeria.
Let me give you a perfect, example. This happened when the lady come, I think in March. He came, a friend of mine came into the country in March, right? Now we went to eat, you know, at a fancy restaurant. We spent about 80 something thousand on what we ate. And this guy said it was cheap. By the time we calculated, because he converted it to dollars, he said it was cheap. That if he had eaten this thing in the US, it would have cost him way more. However, we now went to a supermarket to buy stuff. And we now noticed that some of those things that were in those supermarkets were more expensive than they were in the US. Do you understand? Mm. Why is the food cheaper in Nigeria than in the US? Because that food is exported from here. Yes. There as African food. And why are those groceries in the supermarket more expensive? Because we bring those groceries from there here. So it is, you know, it is common sense. So the luxury thing, there are two sides to it. You have the price. And then, to be honest, a lot of people in our industry, they bastardize that word luxury, to be honest with you. To me, the way I describe luxury is space or experience.
Yeah.
So it's either this thing is bigger than what you have normal, right? So it's luxury. Or I am experiencing something that not a lot of people will be opportunity to experience. Like when you're on top of the Burj Khalifa, you're seeing like Dubai at a different view that you're not seeing. Or in Dubai, the other way, where you say Burj Khalifa view. So having that ability to, not everybody in Dubai can see Burj Khalifa. So that is an experience of itself. Or, you know, in our nice waterfront. If you're able to see the water, it's an experience. Not everybody can experience it. So, If for something to be luxury in the real sense of it, it should either be bigger than normal than what anybody will get, or provide an experience that not a lot of people will have. So that is it in one way. And then you also have the price. So I think that explains it.
Yeah, I think to a large extent, I mean, I'm going to ask you that question actually. The whole luxury, should buildings be termed luxury now in relation to what we see outside? But before I go there, I still want to touch on this smart lock thing. I think I should expatiate further. For instance, I ordered a smart lock for my home, you know, from China, and it was about $53. Now, bringing it to Nigeria and all of that, I spent about $250-$280 just bringing it to Nigeria, excluding the actual cost. And I mean, that the moment it steps in, and that's just me. Imagine if it's someone who is building. To him now, that is luxury. I was touring a particular home recently, and the person showed me the tap, just that tap, 750,000 for that tap alone, 750,000 naira. To that developer, that is luxury, because you don't see taps selling at 750,000 naira. And I just feel that before people, you know, come out and just criticize and castigate some certain things, we need to look at it from different angles. Because to a Nigerian here, the Corolla of then is now sort of luxury, because Corolla is not as affordable as it used to be. Like you said, you sold your Camry.
Yeah, I bought 2.5, sold the 7 million. And they'll tell you that cars depreciate in value. But now cars is crypto. Cryptos.
Cars depreciate, but right now it's looking like cars are now appreciating. You see, so I just want to touch that part that look, as much as we are trying to sanitize the industry, there are certain things that a lot of these developers, because of how much they've put into the project, they call it what they feel it should be. However, my question goes to you. What should we call luxury? Are the homes being built in Lagos today, should they be called luxury?
The example you give about the tap, that the tap being luxury is not about the price. I would have asked you, what exactly does that tap do? Like, there are some taps I've seen, they have various configurations. You can bend them, you can splash them. That was one I saw recently. You understand? You can turn it pours into your mouth. You can't, So
the functionality.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So the functionality is different. It's not common. Not everybody has it in their house. So if you put something like that at 750,000, then I think it makes sense. Or maybe if it's gold or something, not everybody can be able to have that tap. But if it's like every regular tap, then it doesn't.
No, I think it's the brand. This kind of brand, Mealy and all of that.
Can I sell it? So
what would again, you advise? Luxury because these are the things that add to the price of the property that is termed luxury. Yeah. All these little things. There was a house I toured recently and the developer made sure to inform me. He was practically there. Of every single thing that was bought, down to the chandelier and the number of pendants in the chandelier.
That's a mistake a couple of developers make. And I've discussed this with people. There are some things that, I had this man, he's an elderly person, but he's kind of like a niche developer. So he built this project and then he put a lot of things into it. Right? Then he complained. That was the person I was talking about and the example I gave. So he put a lot of effort into it. I imported this thing from here. I did this, I did that. I said, chairman, look at, there are some things our people look out for. Do you understand? For example, if you're spending, let's say, 2 million naira on the paint of a house, the average Nigerian does not know the difference between luxury paint and value paint.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like that chandelier now, not a lot of Nigerians know the difference. So true. If I put a chandelier of, let's say, 200K, put 10 million, it takes like 1% of the 1% of Nigerians to know, okay, this is the difference. So I wouldn't, if I'm, wanting to do luxury, I wouldn't spend that money. There are some places where you will show the luxury, right? In the facade, that is the, first of all, in the architecture.
Okay.
Do you understand? I'll bring out a design that is not normal. Now, there is this house that trended, in as much as me and the developer are not really cool, but there is this house that trended, selling for 690 million. I'm sure you know the house, somewhere in Ikota.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy that ignorantly compares properties, he compared that house going for 6 million naira, compared it to 2 units of 3-bedroom apartments in Lekki Phase 1. And I saw people in the comments saying, oh, well, this one is worth the price. Meanwhile, I know that land in that area,
forgetting the location.
Do you understand? I know land in that place is 250,000. To drop that entire house, it will not take me more than 150 million. Do you understand? But this guy is selling 690. People are saying, it is worth the price. Why? Shine. But there are some developers that don't know this. You guys start spending money on unnecessary things. So the first thing that guy got well was the architecture.
Yeah.
So the thing looked very good. Then he now started to put, tiles. The house is not functional because, again, I don't want to talk that. I almost made a video calling out that house because there are some things that didn't make sense there. But I said, I'm not in the business of spoiling
people's business. Let's address all of those things so that, because we have a lot of developers who get to watch these things. As much as we have, investors watching, we have lots of developers. And I believe it's important they know that this is where they are erring so they can do better. So please say
the most important thing, what makes things stand out in the market is the architecture. That is the most important thing, right? Now, once the architecture is good, then it's now the finishing. Now, or like you said, the functionalities.
So whose responsibility is it to build affordable housing?
Government. It's government. Even everywhere in the world is government. But for some reason, especially people in diaspora, they don't feel that it's Africa, it should be cheap. My 1 month's salary should buy a house in Ikoyi, because it's Africa, So it's, every country, what they call it, social housing, right? It's the government that provides it. Do you understand? But for some weird reason, people feel that as an investor, I should carry my money in a high inflation society or in a high inflation system and then give you cheap housing. It's not my duty. Grant me the government. I mean, it's as simple as
Let's talk about infrastructure. Because that's another thing that developers complain about, that this is the reason why my property is expensive. And the sad thing is people don't really see. It's just that I've been privy to some certain things and I'm like, oh my God, the cost of doing a road is quite high. The drainage and all of those things.
I told you I was in the bedroom this morning before coming here, right? There's an estate that they want me to, you know, come partner with them. Just to do the road from the express. This place is a walking distance from the express. Like from the express is like from the gate of this office to the building. That thing costs 200 million naira. Just from the express, take a road down to the estate gate and a little bit inside, 200 million naira.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Because the inflation, again, like, currently we have a challenge in Lagos, you know, because of the coastal road. The federal government has, you know, put up all these signs. Like, you can hardly see any truck driver available now because everybody's supplying, you know, the contractors that are doing the coastal road. And the government is paying them in advance. Like, they will pay you for 20 trucks in advance. So there's really no need coming to be struggling with one truck or two trucks with developers. So the few that are available, they will call any price. Maybe they've not gotten a contract. They say, okay, let's just do small work. Or maybe after they finish doing government work, they say, okay, let me just do small work for these people. Anything they call for you, sand will go from like 160K to 300,000 in a matter of days. Now the prices are not stable. Do you understand? So these are the things that, you know, contribute to it. So a developer now, like again, when they are comparing us to South Africa, America, an American developer is not thinking, or a South African developer is not thinking about doing roads. He's not thinking about pulling lights. Ah, okay. Ah, see where pole day. Let me buy transformer here. I'll buy red link cable. They are not thinking about those things. And all those costs will be poured into the building, to the project.
So these are the things that actually, some of these things actually add to the price.
Yeah. There are so many factors. That's what I've always said. If it is a compu body, if you have, come and do it. Come and show the way it is done. That's what I've said. If you see a gap in the market, come and take advantage of it. It's simple. Come and take advantage. I said, I'll give you free mentorship. Tell me, Bond, I have 100 million, I have X amount of money, and I want to build. I said, I will guide you. Just go there. I want to do affordable housing. It will cost me 100 million to do this thing, and I will not sell it above this amount. I said, come, I will guide you so that you will do it. By the time you know, because I had somebody that, you know, as much as he didn't take me up on the challenge, you know, I guided him through it. Do you understand? At the point, he was calling on more guys. This is no easy. You know, I now had to start, you know, do more than myself to help him get out of that project. And since that time, he has not built again. he has gone back to the business he was doing. So that's why I said, if you think there's an opportunity there, if you think there's a gap, you can do better. Please, you're welcome. We don't do gatekeeping here. Like most businesses in Nigeria, they gatekeep. They don't, you know, they are like, there's a cabal that prevents other players. But real estate is open. Anybody can buy land, anybody can build. So come and do it. You are welcome.
So now, in what way can the government and the private sector collaborate now in real estate? How can we work together?
I mean, like, you have the duty of the federal government and then the state government. So if the federal government can put their shit together and, you know, stabilize the economy, I mean, dealing with an inflation rate of 27% is ridiculous. Like I said, there are some countries that cannot even think of 10%. So if there's anything they can do, I know it's difficult because I also understand the economics of why things are the way they are based on the past administration. But if I start to talk about that, now they'll say I'm supporting this administration, but let's leave that. So I understand the challenges of why things are the way they are. But if they can do whatever they can to bring down that, then to go a long way. Federal government. Now the state government. They have money. Lagos state government makes a lot of money. They can build the houses themselves, rather. Because I think, was it K2 local government chairman? You know, he did that housing. I think it's K2, but pardon me if I'm wrong. He did housing projects. So local governments can also put their own weight. State government can put their own weight, provide this housing. By the time you add more supply to certain areas, you're going to help regulate prices in those areas. Yeah. Now, if you don't want to go that way, another thing you can do is to provide land. Now, Lagos state government does this, but there is some politics inside it, and I don't want to go under the LSDPC scheme or whatever. You know, there are also some things that they do that makes it unsustainable for developers, you know, in the long run. So, but if they can do more of, you know, partnering with developers that are capable, giving them lands at, you know, discount rates, then they can, you know, help solve the problem. Or if they don't want to go that way, another thing they can do is ease the approval process.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I should be able to do all these things. First of all, I should know that this land is free. I don't need to jump through hoops to, you know that this land is okay for me to buy. Now, once I buy that land, it shouldn't take me too much stress. At the time, they said it was going to take 10 days to get your approval, but that is not your... Employ more people, because I've heard that they don't have a lot of staff. That's why, you know, these things delay. So, you know, like, let's say you're supposed to have 10 engineers in a department going through all these approvals. Maybe they have only two. So this is what causes delay in that system. So employ more people so that these approval processes can, can be sped up. And that one I learned recently, I discussed with some people in diaspora, they said another thing that can help, control the price of real estate in Nigeria is having a central database, like an MLS, where historical data of every transaction that has gone on in the market is recorded so that people know what exactly is happening. Like, for example, if I meet an agent that I want to buy a property in Lekki Phase 1, the agent, there's a limit to how much options that agent will show me. The agent will show me maybe 5 options, right? And I cannot know, there's no way for me to know. And there are probably maybe 20 more options in that market. But the agent will only show you what is accessible to them.
Yeah.
And that's what you're left to make your decisions with. And you don't know whether those options they are showing you, whether the prices make sense at the best. And by the time you pay for that thing, you're giving that market a new price. Sure. So somebody bought this thing for 150 million. Sure. So all this thing at 150 million. But if I can say, okay, all the prices in the Lekki Phase 1, the prices maybe 80 million, this one 150, this one at 80 million, 60 million. Okay, I know, okay, the price in this area is 80 million. So if I'm entering negotiation, I know, okay, this is what the price is. Let us do this business. You understand? And then the market is stable because everybody knows that what is going on. This one is 150. By the time he sees that nobody is answering him because everybody knows what the average price of the market is, this guy will be forced to bring down his price. But once that people don't have that knowledge, and one person, I don't want to call the person the mogul because again, there's no information, but one person activates that price, that now becomes a new price. Because somebody will say, somebody sold his own for 300 million. Let me sell my 300. Somebody will come. And then that now kind of like changes things in the market. So if the government can partner with the private sector to create that MLS system where everything is recorded, all of us know all the transactions going on in the system, then I also believe that it could help. This is not my original idea, by the way, so in case they watch this.
There's another issue in the market, pricing in dollars. Now, there's a notion that has been peddling currently that the reason why developers price in dollars is because they want to hide the true value of the property.
That is ignorance. That is ignorance. The person that hears $5 million, if you tell him $5 billion, it's the same thing to him. The person that $5 million will confuse, $5 billion will confuse that person. So if I put my property $5 million, I know my market already. So somebody that your salary is 200K, you have no business. What am I hiding from you? You're not important. You're not in the conversation. If I call a property $5 million, the people that know the value of it or that understand those figures, it does not confuse them. Do you understand? The reason why we put it in dollars is because most of our buyers are in diaspora. I've said this thing before. And if you go, just go on YouTube, search for most every property in the world, you see almost every country in the world, they put it in dollars because they are targeting the national market. Now, why do we put it in dollars of all currency? Because dollar is the global reserve currency. Do you understand? Every country trades with dollars, right? Every country has dollars in their reserve. So it is easy for everybody to relate with. Because I've had people, I've dealt with clients multiple times that, ask what the price, I'll say, is this amount? They say, no, what is it in dollars?
Dollars, yeah.
Now, I know it's easy for you to easily, go and Google it and get the price, but it makes transactions easier. Because I'm watching a video, I'm watching Confidence video, and she's saying 200,000 naira. I don't need to stress myself, bring down my phone. What is 200,000? She has already put the price there. Okay, I'm following the conversation. So the whole idea that they are trying to hide the price is pure ignorance. And again, there's also the theory that it is against the law. The law says transacting in dollars. That is what is the law. Now, EFCC has arrested people that spread Naira. EFCC has arrested people that spread dollar. EFCC has arrested, there was this guy that sells luxury watches that transacted in dollars. I've not seen EFCC arrest one realtor for putting price in dollar. If that was a crime, many realtors would be in prison now. We would have heard the stories. But they are going out. The rules are there. But again, like I said, there's a lot of ignorance out there. And people just love to hear whatever it is suits their biases. What is against the law is transacting in dollars. And again, let me even state why it is a problem, right? Now, so that hopefully this makes people understand this thing better. Why is it wrong transacting in dollars? People just say, we are in Nigeria, why do we need dollars? No, we need to understand what the cause is for that law to be there, right? Now, Nigeria does not print dollars. Every dollar that we see in Nigeria was earned, either through the country itself, so our sales of crude oil or whatever it is Nigeria produces, crude oil, gas, and whatever, they pay the dollars to the central bank. Or any Nigerian that trades, to the international market, that person earns dollars. So every dollar you see in Nigeria is earned. Now, because Nigeria does not produce a lot, the amount of dollars that we earn is not much. And because the dollar is not much, there's a scarcity in the Nigerian market. And that's why the value of the Naira to the dollar is high. Now, in a bid to control that demand of the dollar, because like I said, the dollar coming in is not much. That's why you now have these regulations to control how much people are now going to demand for dollars. Because if more people, because now there are some industries that need to deal with dollars, because when you're hearing this conversation, they're like, but Dangote is talking dollars. The oil industry is a dollar dominated industry, right? They deal in dollars. Why? Because crude oil is an international product. Again, that's another argument people have, that why is a product that is made in Nigeria or gotten from our ground, why is it priced in dollars? It is simple economics. Once a product has international demand, it's going to be priced at international rates. Look at, maybe crude oil is going to be very expensive. Look at our musicians. We don't see them from January to November. Why? Because they're going to earn dollars. They don't perform in Nigerian shows anymore. Because now they now have international appeal. There's now international demand for them. They've now gone to, Thames is no more in Nigeria again. Why? Because she now has international demand. So all her fees are in dollars. To book Burna Boy now is in dollars, millions of dollars. So for him to even come to Nigeria, you're almost like you're booking an international asset. So that's how it works economically. So any product that has national demand is going to be priced in dollars. So there's some industry that does need to deal with dollars, like the oil industry. We also have our manufacturers. You know, they need dollars to go and, you know, import products. Now, the central bank is saying, see, we're not earning a lot of dollars. So let us save these dollars for these our critical industries, the oil and gas guys, so that when they need dollars, they can get it for their trade. The manufacturers, when they need dollars, they can get it for their trade. You that wants to pay school fees for your child in Nigeria, you don't need it because you're adding to the demand. Do you understand? Let us keep these dollars. So that's why they put all those things, say, okay, the rest of you, don't demand for this dollar, don't transact in this dollar, so that the few dollars that we are able to earn can go to the places where it is needed, so that our prices can be stable. Now, in the future, if Nigeria becomes more productive, you know, we're able to sell more and then more dollars coming in, you see that most of these things will change. So that is that. So again, the crime is transacting in dollars, not listing in dollars. And the reason why it is listed in dollars is to make it easier for... Even the Nigerians in Nigeria, billionaires, they don't think in Naira. I've heard that thing, I don't think in Naira. Everything, they want it in dollars, in USD. So those are the people we are talking to. And we are putting those prices... Have you seen... How many times will you say a realtor put a 60 million Naira property in dollars? Because the clients are, you know, small people. It's expensive property because of the people we are addressing or people that we are targeting. You will not see somebody maybe 50 million Naira terrace in Ikota. You say maybe it is $30,000. You don't do that because it's for the regular people. So, but when we're talking $1 million, $2 million, we know the market that we're targeting.
And I'm also going to buttress that because a lot of, from most developers, the concern has been they don't want to keep changing their pricing. Most of the people, especially the highbrow areas, they use contractors who are not Nigerians.
Exactly. That's like even on that angle.
Probably you can go ahead and touch
it. No, you go ahead. I mean, already
so,
there. Yeah,
I mean, we I have like that. Lebanese or foreigners. There's a particular company who the MD is a Lebanese and they're paying him about $6,000 per month. Dollars, because that's what, I mean, he's not Nigerian, he's an expatriate. And most of these expatriates, they earn in dollars. And in these construction companies or these developers, they are using known construction companies to build. However, I know that, you know, you transact in Naira, but the dollar equivalent, right? And if the dollar keeps increasing, it means what they are paying those people have to increase. And this means that the market, the price of the property also has to increase, right? And if today, they come and say, okay, this house is actually 200 million. And then 2 days later, oh, it's 220 million, 250 million. So for most developers, we've spoken and they're like, look, we want stability. For so long, this particular property that I haven't really listed, I've just been selling, and it's going for $175,000 for a one-bedroom apartment. And it has remained like that for going to 6-7 months. That price, $174,000. And it's a confidence. If this was in Naira, we would have had price increase over and over and over again because the dollar keeps fluctuating. And I feel like people should actually understand that too. So it's not that we want to hide anything. I mean, I've been in industry for a while. He's been in the industry for a while because we heard that. I had a conversation again with another client who called me on Sunday. And he said, you know what? I want to buy a property and I'm going to get that person to come and price that property down to Naira for me. And I said, look, nobody can decide what the value of a property a developer has set. He built the property. And if he's saying that this is the price in dollars, you can actually pay in naira, but this is the price in dollars. It's basically because of
for stability,
what it has done, you know, in the property. So I just thought to, you know, touch that because a lot of conversations around the dollar price said you don't have to pay in dollars. I reiterate that you can pay the naira equivalent, but just for stability. And I mean, if you have something to say, please go ahead.
I mean, that's it, you know, stability and, you know, relatability, you know, that's basically it.
So there's a conversation that the houses developers are building today are not for Nigerians, or they're building a lot of houses that people cannot afford. How do you answer that?
Now, this is the issue, right? It's about what the buyer is willing to pay. Now, there's a property I marketed recently. You know, 80 million naira property, fully detached house, 5-bedroom. You know, I posted it on my page. Even today, I not posted it. Like, it went viral. I had almost 500 inspections on that house, but nobody agreed to buy that house. Why? Because of the location. They say it's too far away. Yeah, yeah. What people want is for me to build them a fully detached duplex in Lekki Phase 1 for 10 million naira. And it's not possible. Now, there are various, even anywhere in the world, like, the city centers are expensive. Then you now have the outskirts. That's where you can now have, like, you know, public house, you know, not even public house, but more, you know, cheaper accommodations, right? So in the context of Lagos, this is the issue. If I say, okay, what people have the ability to pay is 50 million naira, I'll look, okay, where can I produce a house of 50 million naira? I'll be going towards Ekpe. I'll look for a place where maybe land is for me to produce a house of, you can't even produce a house of 50 million. Let me say, okay, let's say I go to a place like Ekpe now. I want to build houses of 50 million naira for people, which will be, and I believe it will be affordable, right? I have to go to Ekpe. Now, land in Ekpe is what? Maybe 15 million, 20 million, like, for good documented land. Now, I let's even say I buy the land, 10 million naira. And I build a 3 to 4 bedroom bungalow. Now, it's going to take you between 30 to 40 million. Let's use the lower end, 30 million naira. I build a 3 or 4 bedroom bungalow, 30 million naira, right? And I put a 30% markup on it. So you have seen now that for me to produce a 3-bedroom bungalow in Ekpe now is 52 million. So that puts it there. However, the people that have 52 million don't want to live in Ekpe.
Sure.
Do you understand? They would rather look for apartment safe before Chevron than consider going down to Ekpe. And as a developer, I've seen this in the market. I've noticed that. So why would I now take that risk and go and waste my money there when I build something that nobody will buy? So that's why all the developers are now struggling to do, because all the buyers say they don't want to go after Chevron. And that's why I'm now having a lot of expansion, a lot of sand filling happening before Chevron, because this is where the buyers want. Now, the places that are further down, the buyers don't want to go there. And it is not completely their fault. It is the infrastructure challenges that, you know, of the Lagos state or of the state. Now, because the buyer is saying that, if I go and buy a house in Ekpe, maybe I work in VI. It's going to take me hours if I get to work every day. However, if the government had provided the right infrastructure to connect Ekpe to VI, then I believe that more people will be able to go down there. So it is reflective of the realities of the market. It's what the market allows us to do that we'll do. So I cannot give you a 50 million naira house in Lekki Phase 1. It's not possible. It's not economically possible. The only place I can give you a 50 million naira house is in Ekpe, outskirts. But people don't want to live in the outskirts. And as a businessman, I won't go and gamble my money, put 50 million naira there, wait for 2 years before I sell it. Or if anybody's coming, say, Ekpe, now let me give you 10 million. They will start pricing. Do you understand? So nobody wants to take that risk. So that's why you see everybody just concentrating on, you know, the Ikoyi to Chevron axis, because that's where most buyers want to buy. That is it.
So finally, it still boils down to the government.
Exactly.
Doing something about it.
I mean, we've heard that they want to, I mean, with the coastal road at the back.
Coastal, and then there's a railway.
That's the green line that is connecting VI to the free trade zone. So I believe they say that it's going to take 5 years. You know, if this administration lingers for that, stays for that long, I believe that it will be done. And when that thing is done, it's going to open a whole lot more, you know, open up those areas and then create more opportunities. I'm going to see more developers going there. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about developer accountability and buyer protection. For some time now, we've seen clients who subscribe to off-plan properties not get their homes. How do you think that, you know, some certain rules can come into play to protect buyers?
This one I would say this again is the government. Provide the right regulations, right? You know, before somebody can be a developer, make sure that they have the financial capacity to carry out that project. I've seen crazy things. That was somebody that reached out to me. I'm very sorry for using it as an example. That's one that reached out to me. He said I needed my help. He needed to raise funds, that I should advise him. I said, what's the issue? He said he signed JV. in Oniru and Surulere. The one in Oniru, 10 floors. The one in Oniru, Surulere, like 7 floors. And I don't have money to do it. I say, wait, and this is first project. I say, you don't have money. This is your first project. And you went to sign Oniru and VI. I mean, Oniru and Surulere. So there are so many people that come into this business with Aspire to Perspire. They will read one motivational book and feel that they can move mountain. By the time they go there, they see that reality. So if there's a way to, you know, I don't know how, maybe developer register or something, I don't know. But make sure that anybody carrying out this project, that's the way you can vet them to be sure, okay, this person has the financial capacity to carry out this project. We're going to see, you know, less of that.
So what are you looking out for in Lagos? What are your future aspirations? What do you hope to see in Lagos?
I mean, Lagos State is a state I'm proud of, you know, because despite all the challenges, it's one of the few states that I see that is actually putting effort to, you know, give itself like a positive image. What do I mean? See how many times they've abused Wike, you know, with the demolition of Abuja. Have you heard Wike coming to address anybody? He doesn't care. Demolitions happening in Anambra State. Have you heard Soludo come to address anybody? But if anything happens in Lagos, somebody from Lagos State government will go around every radio station, every TV station to go and explain. But yet people don't seem to, you know, understand the value of that. Do you understand? So the Lagos State government has a listening ear and they have a progressive mindset, right? It's a state that I can bet on that, okay, that in the next couple of years, this is what I think, you know, that the plans that they have, especially now that, you know, let's say their son is the president, you know, most of the plans that they have, I believe that they will be able to, you know, carry it out. So, for Lagos, I'm bullish about Lagos, you know, I'm bullish about Lagos, yeah.
So what would you say about people who are doubting? Because I had someone say, I want to invest. I don't want to invest in my state in Anambra. It's still Lagos, but with what I've been seeing, you know, what can you say about that?
So I'm guessing what the person is referring to is the demolitions, right?
Yeah, the demolitions and feeling like maybe he's not getting the right price. The value and all of that.
So speaking on the demolition, I also think that things have gotten better. You know, like between 2018, 2019, like for the Wild Wild West, there was almost no regulation. People were just doing things anyhow. But now the Lagos State government has now woken up to its responsibility. So you have seen that in Ibeju and Ekpe now, they're kind of like taking charge of the whole land. So they are now in charge of the land administration. Everything has to go through them. They're the ones now that are doing the allocation so that developers don't go there. Because I explained this to somebody. I said the problem Lagos had was that, you know, it was developing at a certain rate. Then it just boomed.
True.
And the government couldn't keep up.
Exactly.
So if you see most of the old Lagos, you see Ikeja, you see Lekki Phase 1, Ikoyi, VI, they all had a plan. Like if you go online, you see the master plan. All the plots, everything was already aligned. True. But you see that before, you know, between Ikate down to, I think, Aja, there was no plan for those places. So I think that the Lagos State government just planned for Ikoyi, VI, Lekki Phase 1. But then there was this boom and, you know, people decided to move, and they couldn't, you know, they couldn't keep up. But now they've realized their mistake, hopefully, and then they're not trying to like put things in order. That's why if you go towards Ibeju and Ekpe now, you see that there's now that structure that they are now putting in place to make sure that all the mistakes that happened within that Ikate, Chevron or Logola axis, you know, have been corrected, you know, in these new locations.
No, there's been something, a trend going on for the past few days, you know. So Power Road and, you know, the drainage and all of that.
Again, that is the government primarily, but we also have our roles to play as citizens. Now, I made a post earlier today, you know, because that was this argument I made. I said one of the reasons why Lagos, because this whole Lagos is smelling argument, I said one of the reasons why Lagos has this waste challenge that we're having is that we have a lot of people cramped up in this small space. All these plenty people, they are generating waste. So it's difficult to manage those people. And that is the same reality with almost every, you know, populated city in the world. Like the New York, everybody's talking about New York City. I mean, you have rat infestation problems. There are subways that are dirty. Why? Because you have 8 million people cramped up in, I think, 700 and something square kilometers. You know, 60% of people in the state of New York live in New York City. Do you understand? New York City houses about 60% of the population of, you know, the entire state of New York, right? So that pressure is there, and that's the reality that they have. Then somebody now said, what of Tokyo? Now, Tokyo is a city of 37 million people in a smaller landmass than Lagos. But it's a neat city. And that actually got me thinking. And then I did my research. And I saw that at the last World Cup, after every match, the Japanese, they cleaned the stadium. Like in another country, they were they went to support their country in another country for the World Cup. After every match, they cleaned the stadium and they interviewed a couple of them. They said, it is the Japanese way.
Yeah.
That is who we are. That is their culture. Because, first of all, I went on ChatGPT and I typed it. I said, okay, why is it? Because, because I was like, okay, this is the reality. Then somebody asked that question and I went to do my research. And I saw ChatGPT said, the major thing why they are like that is their culture, that the Japanese are very neat people. And then I now started to do my research and I saw, what these guys did at the World Cup. So you cannot compare yourself to Nigeria that throwing dirty inside the doors, inside, when reinforced. It's raining, reinforced, that is when they know, oh, time to throw dirty. You don't know that rain is washing that dirt somewhere. And that place is going to get blocked because the rain, rain has a channel and it carries everything. By the time you now start to heap it, it gets blocked. And the same people will come tomorrow and say the government is supposed to. So we are not really cultured as a people, So we have our roles to play. Again, like I said, the government also has a role to play. Like, some will say, enforcement that's supposed to make sure that, people are punished for.
Yeah, I think there was something like that, kick against indiscipline.
Some people will come and protest now. If you say, okay, this is the punishment for this, you say, government is too wicked and stuff like that. So again, like I said, it is also, I won't say it is a fault of Lagos because Lagos tries to carry everybody along.
Yeah.
Because Lagos state government will say, okay, let us do this. People will complain, they will back down. But there are some state governments that they not burn you well. This is how it is. Cry from today to tomorrow, they will not listen. This is how they want it done. But Lagos state has this like kind of soft heart, wanting to, accommodate everybody. And, I don't want to say it's in a bad way because it is a progressive mindset. But, that is the reality that we have. So that's the job of the government to, enforce certain regulation, but as a people, we also have our own role to play in these things.
Yeah, thank you. As a people, we have a role to play because, recently the Lekki Epe Road was just constructed and it was looking great, the street lights, everything. First of all, people started stealing the lights.
Yeah, exactly.
That is us. That's not the government. And secondly, people started dumping refuse in the middle of the road.
An excuse. Why? Let me interrupt you. An excuse somebody will give now is poverty. Yeah, because we are poor. That's why we're doing that. Are we the poorest nation in Africa? If you go to Ivory Coast, their GDP is smaller than us. Go to Ghana.
Ghana is neat.
Do you understand? The Ghanaians, not even about the country, like the people.
Yeah.
Do you understand that they are principled as a people? If you interact with a Ghanaian, like they are principled as a people. But of our own, we do things anyhow and then we blame it on poverty. We are wealthier than these people. But yet, there are basic principles that these people live by that, it does anyhow. So they will say it's poverty, but I don't agree. It's just who we are as a people.
I think we all need to change. We have a hand in making Nigeria a home, a safe haven. Now, finally, what is your solution? I know you've tackled some things, but I believe that this isn't just a podcast for just conversations. We are driving conversations out there. We are trying to change some certain narratives. At the same time, we want to propose some certain solutions. So if you become the commissioner for real estate, what are the things you would do?
Commissioner for real estate. So I don't have any business with how dirty the places, the drainages and everything, just to drive real estate.
Drive real estate and, You can add more to it too.
Yeah, okay. Let's say commissioner for real estate. Like that MLS, I heard it recently and it was a very brilliant idea. Let everything be centralized. Like, let's have a central database where everything is, recorded. Everything that happens in the industry, is, how I put it, that there's a proper record of everything that provides transparency. Do you understand? Because it provides transparency and then it provides trust. Because I know that, okay, there's this platform I can go to and get this information, all the information I need about any property, whether it's, at the setback or, it's where it's supposed to be. I get all this information there. And this place is, has the backing of the state government. Then I can invest confidently. Because there are some people you try to sell to, no matter how much they trust you, they still that fear that, are you sure this person knows what they are doing?
Mm-hmm.
But if there is that guarantee from the government that, yes, this is our system and we're telling you that this is good, then that trust there. And when that trust is there, you have more transactions in the system. There's more transactions. We're going to make more money because we're going to get taxes from you guys. And another thing, I would do, this one might not favor people, but, make sure everybody is registered. Lagos State government has tried it, but again, enforcement, like this last era, make sure that every agent, every developer in the system, like there's a way to track them, that's to trace them, so that when we have complaints, when everybody going out of line, we know, okay, this is this person, this is how we can get them. And again, that also provides trust because, yeah, I know that if this developer messes up with me, this is who I go to report
and
this person, accountability, this person will deal with this person, and then again, it will build more trust, which will lead to more transactions in, you know, in the system. And then the other, for the rental issue, just enforce what you already have, right? One of the things I've seen, I saw, was it in Canada or I got in the country where they said, even if you want to increase your rent, it should not be above a certain amount of the current inflation rate, right? So as a landlord, you cannot just increase your rent, but you also have to factor in the inflation rate. So let's say inflation for this year was 27%. I can say, okay, no rent should be above 5% inflation rate. So if I'm increasing my rent, it should not be more than 32% any year. Mm-hmm. So something like that. So
well, it's been an interesting conversation. I want to thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I believe we've all learned one or two. And if you have questions regarding the Nigerian real estate market, it's an opportunity to answer your questions. And, you know, we have people here to answer your questions. My name is Confidence. This is Key to Keys. And I can't wait to see you.